I want to pause here for a couple things. One is, I was thinking about Jane's children's ministry moment. And as I know that was for the children, but if you're like me, it really speaks to you, speaks to your heart, because we have only so much time in this life to serve the Lord, to make good decisions, to walk in faith, only so much time. And the Bible repeatedly reminds us of that over and over, that yes, faith without works is dead, but also God numbers our days and teaches us, gives us wisdom in how to live our days. And I know you're like me, I want to be faithful to Him with every moment that I have. I want to be faithful to the Lord with the time that I have. May we be good stewards of that time. I do appreciate so much, as Pastor Kevin said, the serve teams that were here this week and went out during the week. Good for you, impacting our community for Christ. I also want to remind you there's a mission team right now in West Virginia participating in disaster recovery and relief. They'll be home next week. Be praying for them. Their names are listed on your Wednesday email alert, so keep that in mind. And just like I say, be praying for them, lifting them up. You know, when God sends us on mission, they're doing mud outs in West Virginia, which is a dirty job. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's cleaning mud out of homes that were impacted by flooding. But when God sends you somewhere for that task, He also knows the people that you're going to meet, the people you're going to talk to. So pray for them, the people that they'll talk to, they'll minister to, they'll pray with, and pray for those who need Christ that they might be saved through this West Virginia team being there. So be praying for them. Also want to remind you, coming up Sunday the 23rd, morning and evening, make sure you make a note of that, August 23rd, after the worship hour at 11 o'clock Sunday morning the 23rd, we'll have a called business conference to consider deacons for the year and the nominating committee report for the year. Then that evening at 6 p.m., we will be blessing students and teachers and homeschool moms and dads and everybody in between. We're going to be praying and just blessing the schools and blessing the students, administrators, everybody. So Sunday night, the 23rd, be back for that at 6 o'clock. And, of course, next Sunday morning is our Gideon Sunday. Our Gideon speaker this year is some guy named Brad Bart. Yeah, y'all know Brad Bart. No, we're delighted to have Brad come as one of our own at First Baptist Church to be our Gideon speaker in this wonderful ministry. So next Sunday morning, be here for the Gideon Sunday. And remember to pray about what God would have you to give to the Gideons International. The Gideons International, one of the things I love about the Gideons International is they have one purpose. They do one thing, and 100% of what you give toward the Gideons goes to this one purpose. It's to distribute the Word of God worldwide. That's what they do. They distribute Bibles. Now, they also lead people to Jesus regularly and consistently everywhere they go. But all of your giving goes to their ministry of distributing Bibles all over the world. And the Gideons are a reminder of the impact you can have with one focus. When you're focused on your purpose, what God wants you to do, you don't deviate from that. That's how you become a high-impact ministry and a high-impact church and a high-impact Christian. You do what God wants you to do. That helps you know what to say yes to. It helps you know what to say no to. It helps you stay motivated, purpose-focused, and always looking for where the Holy Spirit is leading you and what He wants you to do, because you know what God wants you to do. You've got that one thing always in front of you. If you have your Bible, find with me Colossians chapter 1 again, this time verse 27. And this is what we hear the Apostle Paul talking about this morning. The Apostle Paul was always focused on his one thing. And he said elsewhere, this one thing I do. He always knew what God had called him to do, and everything else orbited around that one purpose. So as he talks to the Colossians this morning, and through the ages talks to us and other Christians, he's reminding us of what that one purpose is, what this one thing that makes an impact. It's the one reason we are here. And as a pastor, I hear that in his words, I hear the echo of pastoral ministry as well. You'll recall from last week, he became very personal with the Colossians. He talked to them about his ministry, about who he is. He's continuing to do that in this passage. And he shows a pastor's heart, but he also reminds us all of the one thing we do, what the church is here for, and what you and I should be doing in relation to that. Now, I want to go ahead and tell you what our big point is here, because I want you to tuck this away. It's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's what the Apostle Paul is leading up to. And that spiritual maturity, Christian growth and spiritual maturity. So remember this, God expects every Christian to pursue maturity, to grow in Christ, and to become more like Christ every day. That's God's expectation. It's God's call. And the Apostle Paul is going to hone down his one purpose to show that pursuit of Christian maturity is what it's all about. So look here with me at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to pick up reading at verse 27. As we read before, but once again, Paul says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully within me. Chapter 2. For I want you to know how greatly I am struggling for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. To present everyone mature in Christ. Well, let's park there on that word, because what Paul presents is an image that this Christian life is a journey leading to one day, someday, standing before the Lord. And our objective, all of our objective, when we arrive there, is to be as mature in Christ as we can be. The term he uses, translated mature, sometimes is translated complete or even perfect. But we have to be careful there, because the term perfect in our world, in 21st century Christian churches, refers to something we can't achieve. We can't achieve perfection. And we say often, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. So rest in this, maturity and completion. That's what the term implies. And in Paul's day and time, that's what to be perfect meant. It meant to be complete in Christ. What he means is that from the point you become a Christian to the time you arrive in his presence, you are on a journey of spiritual maturity and growth. And as much as you are able, you're becoming more like Christ. Christ is, in fact, our role model for Christian maturity. He's our benchmark. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says that God, this is what God wants. He said, this is what God wants of you and of me, that we be conformed to the image of Christ. In other words, to become more like Christ every day. That word, again, translated mature or complete, captures an image of someone intentionally in pursuit of a goal. That every Christian, from the moment we come to faith in Christ, every Christian has as a goal to be more like Christ. Now think of all the things we think are our one thing. All the things we think is the one thing we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to find the perfect church. We're supposed to be comfortable. We're supposed to have everything convenient for us. And the list could go on and on. Paul says, no, you have but one goal, one purpose: grow in Christian maturity, be more like Christ. So that day you stand before the Heavenly Father, you will be the most like Christ you can be, having lived this life. That's your journey. That's your purpose. God expects every Christian to pursue spiritual maturity, Christian maturity. You know, when we talk about maturity, of course, and we use it different ways, and that's legitimate. If you were to go on the website for Psychology Today, you would find different definitions of maturity, but you also find kind of a package breakdown. There's biological maturity. You're getting older. So am I. Biological maturity, you can see. I can see you getting older. You can see me getting older. Just watch. And you can feel yourself getting older. Biological maturity, aging, is pretty evident. Another type of maturity is emotional maturity. And along beside it is psychological maturity. This kind of maturity says you are becoming more mature as you become a more responsible individual. you make wise decisions and you learn to make better decisions. In the 1980s, the columnist Ann Landers wrote a column in which she, and it's become well known, it's called Maturity is More Than One Thing. And she likened maturity, the 8 traits of a mature person, she likened to character traits and decision making. Responsible, self-control, delayed gratification, wise decisions. Not thinking everything's about you is a sign of emotional and psychological maturity. The list could go on and on. But when you look at Scripture, what you find is what the world defines as maturity, actually the Scripture has already told us is part of becoming mature in Christ. The difference is Christ. And spiritual maturity is something the world doesn't talk about, but the Bible talks about frequently. You and I are to pursue spiritual maturity, which means becoming more like Christ every day. Now, as we go back to these verses, the Apostle Paul gives us some key elements of spiritual maturity, of Christian growth. So I want to look at these with you this morning. I want you to notice 3 things with me regarding spiritual maturity. And my challenge for us this morning is to rise to the occasion. If you see yourself as one who's not in pursuit, intentionally pursuing the goal of spiritual maturity, Christian growth, let this be a turning point for you. Let this be the day that you say, I want to strengthen my core and I want to grow in Christ. I want to be more like Christ. In fact, I would offer that as we talk about this, one of the things God is going to show you are those soft spots. And you need to be strong. You need to be stronger in those areas. Maybe recently you reacted in a conversation, any number of things, and He probably already has shown you. It wasn't very Jesus-like. So I want to challenge us all this morning when we leave here to say, yes, I want to intentionally pursue spiritual growth. God is a forgiving and gracious God. That's the great news. You can start over today pursuing spiritual growth. Look at this with me. 3 elements, Paul says. So notice this with me. First of all, notice the message that anchors Christian maturity. Notice the message that anchors Christian maturity. Paul says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he opens verse 28. We proclaim him. Verse 28 is our anchor this morning. It's what we're going to break apart this morning, look closely at. But notice he says, we proclaim him. Who? Who do they proclaim? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says to the Colossian Christians who are not Jews, many of them would have been, but he's talking to those that are not, he says, you need to understand this is the mystery of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came for the non-Jews, for all the nations, for every one of you. And when you came to faith in Christ, Christ in you became the hope of glory for everyone else. You are a walking memorial to Jesus Christ. Your life, your character, your expectations says to everyone around you who does not know Christ that you too can embrace the mystery of salvation in Jesus Christ. So Paul says, Christian growth, Christian maturity is anchored in this message. What message? We proclaim him. We proclaim him. We're not here to proclaim anyone else. We're not here to make an impact for us personally, you and me personally. We're not here to get our way. We proclaim him, Christ and Christ alone. The term translated proclaim envisions a herald going through the street announcing far and wide a great proclamation. Picture that for a moment. As Paul did and as the people in Colossae did when he said it, there's a herald coming through town. And he is proclaiming Christ in you, the hope of glory. That if the world is to have hope at all, it's Christ. And Christ in you demonstrates, illustrates, reveals to the world. Jesus saves people. Jesus changes people. Well, that's a great announcement, a great proclamation. For everything else we do, we have one thing to say. Jesus. Jesus Christ is our proclamation. He is our herald. He's the one we herald. He's our announcement. For everything else we do, and all very good things, it's all about Christ. And everything we do should be anchored in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you read July 29, the Canadian military issued a directive to the Canadian Armed Forces that chaplains may no longer, when chaplains pray at military events in Canada, chaplains may no longer invoke God or any religion. If they give, for example, if a chaplain gives a public invocation at a military event, that chaplain may not use any religious terminologies, invoke any god, pray in the name of any god, or say anything particularly religious. And you think, well, what are they supposed to do? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. They can instead invoke secular spiritual reflections. And this is a quote from their directive. Spiritual reflections do not use religious-specific language, including references to God. They reflect upon lessons learned, beliefs, values, and experiences to inspire gratitude, remembrance, hope, and integrity, said the directive. In other words, the chaplains are now in the service of the secular culture. Not in the service of God, but in the service of the secular culture and the military culture. I can preach and teach on a biblical view of finances, and that's a good thing. But the reason I can do that is because of Jesus Christ. I can preach and teach on a biblical view of relationships, a biblical view of marriage, seven biblical things to make your health, to make a relationship healthier. I can do that, and I've done that. But the reason I can do that is not because they're spiritual reflections, but because of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one that makes the difference. Jesus Christ is the anchor to everything else we do. Otherwise, we're just a social club giving spiritual reflections. May it never be. If you and I are to grow spiritually, to become spiritually mature and more like Christ, always remember it's about Jesus Christ. Be very careful about exchanging Christ for self-help platitudes or spiritual reflections or progressive Christianity, which is not Christianity at all. Be very careful. It's about Christ. Let no one take that out, because that is how you're growing. How can you become more like Christ if you take Christ out? We proclaim Him, Paul says. No one else and no other way. If you're going to ask me to proclaim, if you're going to ask me to announce, if you're going to ask me to herald, guess what I'm going to talk about? The hope of glory, Christ in you, Jesus, and what He's done for us. Second, Paul says, notice this, the method that produces Christian maturity. Got the message that anchors Christian maturity. Now the method that produces Christian maturity. In a broad paint strokes, Paul gives, he defines his method, and that he wants every pastor to use and that every church uses to produce spiritually mature Christians. And this method, he said, there's a scope to this method, there's a strategy to this method, and there's a strength to this method. He says, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom. The scope of this method is everyone. No one left out. The proclamation of Christ is for everyone. Remember that the false teachers that were influencing the Colossian church were those, they became known as Gnostics. Their term comes from the Greek word for to know, because they believed they knew what no one else knew. They had elite knowledge. And they believed that only those with elite knowledge could actually know God. And that everybody else, the rest of us, I guess we're the riffraff, we're just left out. The misfits. We don't get to know God because we're not the elite. So Paul makes sure to make it clear, Christ is for everyone. And everyone can hear and receive the message of the gospel, repent and trust Christ and be saved. everyone. Then the strategy, he says, is two-pronged. It's twofold. First, warn, and second, teach. Now, the term translated warn can also be translated admonish and even counsel. The image is not so much someone that's running around yelling at people and warning them. The image is someone in conversation, first of all, with an unbeliever, a lost person. So the first prong of the strategy is to engage people who do not know Christ and to warn them or counsel them or admonish them that the life they're living is a sinful life, and to warn them about the consequences of that sin, to remind them they need Christ, to help them see that the reason Christ came is because we're sinners. And when you go and you tell someone about Christ, you're not saying you're better than they are. You're saying you were where they are. And someone came to you and they counseled you and they admonished you and they warned you about your sin and you realized you needed Christ. So the first part of it is to warn and engage those who are not Christians about the consequences of their sin. But right along with that, Paul also means speaking to believers. Many young believers think that as Christians in the church, they can live under the habits of their old life before Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul addresses these Christians very pointedly. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3 that the way Christians behave by thinking they can live the old life and still be Christians is an indication of their immaturity in Christ, because they think they can still live like they used to live and represent Christ to the world. So the second admonition and warning are to Christians that nothing's changed. No character change. You're not anything more like Christ than you were before you got saved, except now you're saved. And it's time to start getting with God, repenting of those things, changing your lifestyle, changing your habits, and start living for Christ. So the first prong of the strategy is to warn the consequences of sin. And for Christians, sometimes you need to change things and get where you need to be. The second prong is teaching. This is explicitly for Christians. So calling unbelievers to Christ, they come to Jesus. The rest of their life is teaching. Teaching, teaching, teaching. Growing, growing, growing in Christ. You will not mature spiritually without growing in the Word of God, without coming along with good teachers and disciplers, without growing your faith that way. That's how you grow in Christ. That's how your character changes. Teaching, Paul says, teaching everyone. Everyone who comes to Christ. Everyone can be saved. Everyone can come to Christ. And teaching everyone, Paul says. Teaching them sound doctrine along the way. I mentioned a moment ago progressive Christianity. James Tallarico, who's running for office from Texas, is sort of the poster child for progressive Christianity now. And you'll understand when I say progressive Christianity is not Christianity at all. Look to him as an example. Not long ago in an interview, he was making a big deal, feeling really good about the church he grew up in. The church he grew up in was heavy into social activism and social justice, and he illustrated how great this church was by saying to the interviewer, "And an atheist became a member of the church." Now, what that tells me is two things right away. First of all, that's not a church. Because the church belongs to born-again believers in Christ. Period. It's not just about signing your name and membership. It's about Jesus Christ saving you. You're born again in Christ. You become a part of the worldwide church, the everyone Paul speaks of, and then you come to a local church to serve Jesus. The other thing that stood out for me is the huge disservice they did to that atheist, making that atheist think that the church was nothing but a social club and that he didn't need Jesus and he could just sign on the dotted line and engage in social activism with the church. That's why that's not Christianity at all. Christianity starts with, we proclaim him, warning everyone, and then teaching everyone the great truths of the gospel. Then the strength of his strategy, the strength of the method, is with all wisdom. with all wisdom. He says it again when we started chapter 2. He talked about wisdom and knowledge. So here's what he means. The Bible teaches that God's wisdom is the right application of God's knowledge. You can know a lot. You can know the Bible. You can be saved and have a lot of knowledge. But you need God's wisdom to apply that knowledge in everyday life, to apply that knowledge in your Christian growth. And wisdom is the right application of knowledge. This is the intersection also of discipleship and growing in Christ. It's where you have a discipler or a mentor or a coach in the faith who helps you apply with wisdom the Word of God. And then you have someone that comes, you come alongside them and you help them apply with wisdom the Word of God. This is how we mature in Christ. This Christian maturity needs wisdom to mature and to grow. So remember, the message is anchored in Christ and Christ alone. Christian maturity is anchored in that message. Then Christian maturity has as its method admonishing and warning and teaching with great wisdom, with all wisdom, something we all need. We can provide the tools for that, D4 groups, discipleship, but this is your responsibility, not ours. It's your responsibility to pursue intentionally Christian maturity, to ask, can I be with this group? Can I talk to you? Will you pray with me? Will you help me study the Bible? Ask. And all together we are teaching with all wisdom the great work of God and the applications of His Scripture. And we'll watch each other grow in Christ. If you're in this room and you have participated in what I'm talking about, you'll definitely know what I'm talking about when I tell you there's no greater way to grow than grow in wisdom. Christian maturity comes with wisdom, and there's nothing quite like a believer coming alongside you and taking the Word of God and helping you apply that to your life. Then last, the motivation that fuels Christian maturity. Paul says, so that. Two very little but very important words. Everything I just said, Paul says, is so that this. I can present everyone. So here's what we want to do. We want to present everyone. There's that word again. Everyone who has come to Christ. Everyone is growing in maturity, in Christian maturity. Everyone who's being taught. Everyone who's being discipled. I want to present everyone mature in Christ. Complete in Christ. Here's Paul's picture. You and I gather at the throne of God. And Paul mostly has in mind when Christ returns. But the image is also when we go home. That we gather at the throne of God. And Paul is there. And he looks over at the Colossian Christians and the Laodicean Christians and the Ephesian Christians and the Galatian Christians. And God bless them, the Corinthian Christians. And he looks over at them and he says, look, they have finished their journey. Father, I'm so blessed. I was on that journey with them. They were warned and they listened. They changed what needed to be changed. They were taught and they applied wisdom. And they grew in grace and became mature in Christ. And I can present them and tell you, here they are. They're home now. The journey is complete. The journey is complete. And Paul envisions the same thing for you and me. I long for that day that I will stand with you. We will stand together around the throne of God and I'll say, look, I labored with them. We prayed together. We cried together. We sang together. We worshiped together. We hit the streets together. We studied together. We prayed together. And here they are. The journey is over. And oh, how they are more like Christ than you could ever think they would have been at the outset. And you think that of me, hey, I look at you and I think, wow, where you started, and now how much more like Christ you've become because you pray, because you apply, because you learn, because you're discipled, more and more you're being conformed to the image of Christ. And just think of the day you show up there and we all say together, here we are, and the journey's complete. Will you take up the challenge? Take up the challenge to pursue intentionally Christian maturity. What are those soft spots in your walk with Christ? What are those areas? And if you're starting out as one who just says, well, I come Sundays and I sit and I soak. But listen, God has so much more for you. Imagine that your decisions are shaped by the wisdom of the Word of God. Imagine that your character starts to change into shape to be more like Christ. That when you're confronted with those people that you have a hard time with, rather than less like Christ, now you're more like Christ. Your forgiveness, your patience, your endurance, it all shows Christ. Your generosity, you're becoming more like Christ. 10 years, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, wasn't like this, but all of a sudden now, you hear an opportunity to go, to give, to work, to serve, and you want to sign up, you want to be a part of that, you're becoming more like Christ. You're growing in Christian maturity. But then on the other hand, what if you're not? Or what if you're thinking, well, coming and sitting on Sunday morning is as much Christian as I need to be. That's good enough for me. Because nobody knows the difference, right? The thing about Christian maturity is there are no shortcuts. It's your whole life. When Paul closes this out, he says, it's for this I labor and strive. Do you know that's an athletic term? He says, Colossians, I'm running the race for you. I'm striving for you. You're not in this journey alone. We're in this journey together, and I labor and strive for you. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. You decide today, are you going to intentionally pursue Christian maturity? Are you going to apply the Word of God and the wisdom of God and let God make you more like Christ every day? Sometimes we hear about scandals in the sports world. Inflategate. Remember that? Tom Brady. Lance Armstrong's doping scandal in the sports world. One of the most infamous scandals in the sports world is probably one you've never heard of. Never made national television, never really made big news, but it's there and it's still talked about today in the sports world. In 1980, the Boston Marathon was underway. 26 miles had nearly been completed. And as the runners were in that last mile, a woman named Rosie Ruiz led out. And there she was, with a time better than any woman had ever run in the Boston Marathon. And she crossed the finish first. She was celebrated. Lights, wreath on her head, big news articles. Everybody's excited. They're all rallying around her. Finally, other runners start coming in, and they're saying, what in the world? How did she pass us? Where did she come from? And then people started looking at her a little more closely. And you know that toned runner's body that runners have? Yeah, she didn't have that. So they started investigating a little bit more, and officials found out that she had waited until it was the last mile and she had just trotted onto the track, onto the road, and ran that last mile, just kind of jogging along, and got the best time in the history for a woman in the Boston Marathon. It's your journey. And one day, someday, you and I are going to stand before God. No shortcuts, no easy outs. This is your race. Everyone around you, myself included, will help. But this is your race. Here's the question. How are you doing? How are you doing? God wants you today and for the rest of your service and your stewardship of the gospel on earth to grow in Christian maturity, to be more like Christ every day. How are you doing? Do you need to get with God this morning and say, God, I'm not growing at all. I've made no effort whatsoever to learn, to grow, to trust. You need to say, God, I want to start over today and just grow in Christian maturity and grow in Christ. Where does he find you today? Or maybe you're in this room this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Today is the day. Give your life to Christ. Be born again in Christ. This is not a social club. We are here because we have experienced the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Been born again in Christ. And we want to be more like Jesus every day. If you need Christ as your Savior, trust Christ today. Heavenly Father, God, we pause in this moment, and you know us, Father. You know us. There's no hiding here. You know our hearts. You know our minds. You know who we are. And you know, God, whether or not we've been growing in Christian maturity, whether we've been intentionally pursuing the call to be more like Christ. So, Father, forgive us if we have been lax. And show us, Father, the soft spots in our walk with Christ, the areas that you want to strengthen in our core. Father, I pray today for each of us that we would deal with you honestly, God. We would repent. We would confess. We would let you start changing our hearts and our lives. I pray for that one who needs Christ, that today they would come to Christ. I pray for that one who needs to join fellowship with First Baptist Church, that this would be the day they would say, yes, this is my church home. I pray for that one who needs to make other fresh commitments, whoever it is, God, wherever we are in our walk with Christ. May we be different when we leave this place. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.